Good afternoon and welcome to the Wednesday, November 21st edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, this day before Thanksgiving. And we'll be off tomorrow and Friday on the Investigative Journal, then be back Monday. And I did want to bring this one program note. I mentioned I was going to have Kay Griggs on, and that's the woman who was married to Lieutenant Colonel Raymond Griggs, a hitman for the Marines. And she tells quite a tale about her husband and many of the people that we talk about on this show and how they actually conduct themselves with assassinations in the name of freedom and liberty. Kate Griggs will be on Tuesday. Also, I got a message from a regular on this show, Eric John Phelps, who comes on monthly, sometimes twice a month. And he wanted to give everybody a Thanksgiving message, and so I thought I'd do that. And he says, dear brethren and friends, may the Lord bless you on this Thanksgiving day. May we all remember this feast looks back to when the Protestant pilgrims celebrated Thanksgiving with the Native American Indians. God was beginning his deliverance from the Pope's European Inquisition that had killed millions from 1215 to the 1600s. Maybe the Lord will deliver us also from the pending papal inquisition here in North America as we seek to humbly do his will spiritually and politically. I did want to mention this before I get my guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo, and he's been fighting the Vatican for over 40 years, and what a story he has to tell. And he comes on my show about once a month, and he's got some new information today he wants to bring forward. And I wanted to mention this, though. Occasionally I'd like to recommend a book. It's called Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papacy by Peter DeRosa, 1988. It's published by Crown Publishers Incorporated, New York. It's 448 pages. It's a hardback book with good subject index. And I recommend that you get it if you want to read more about the dark side of the papacy. And he mentions this in his book. He says, the Roman Catholic Church has long, and the reason I mention this before I start is that recently I read the Jewish Congress. The Jewish Congress is going to the Pope to ask help against anti-Semitism. And I said, "Well, isn't that the pot calling the kettle?" Because I can't believe that they have sold out. Because I mean, listen to what Peter DeRosa says. He says the Roman Catholic Church has a long record of anti-Semitism. Popes in the Borgia era created a ghetto for the Jews, required them to wear distinctive yellow hats whenever they ventured out. The Holy Fathers belongs only, and he says this, that they have tortured and killed more Jews in the name of God than any other organization in the world. And I mentioned this the other day. I said, why isn't this ever talked about? And what I'm saying is, why is the Catholic Church and the Vatican protected in this country? And it goes on and on and on, and I tried to tell you yesterday what I thought, and the reasons I gave you were this, that the mainstream media, of course, but much of the alternative media is bought and paid off by them, and they control that. And in a book by Paul Blanchard, and I wanted to mention this again because it's important, he says this, he wrote this in 1950, and he gives us a reason why there is such a relative lack of attention to the papacy and to Rome and their connections to our foreign and domestic policy, and why non-Catholic scholars and Catholic scholars have been reluctant to really talk about the truth. And he says this back in 1950. He says, there's no doubt that the American Roman Catholic hierarchy has entered the political arena, and that it is becoming more and more aggressive in extending the frontiers of Roman Catholic authority into the fields of medicine, education, and foreign policy. As we shall see in his book, that the Catholic hierarchy in this country has great power as a pressure group, and no editor, politician, publisher, merchant, or motion picture producer can express defiance openly or publicize documented facts without risking his future. And therein lies what's going to be coming up, as we mentioned on this show, in May, Ron Howard and Tom Hanks were in Rome with Dan Brown, who wrote the Da Vinci Code, along with several Jesuits, a cardinal from the Vatican, and Rupert Murdoch, and they were there talking about how they're going to finance the new movie they're making, Angels and Demons. Now, what this is going to be, it's going to be a propaganda campaign, and exactly what they're saying, the Vatican is saying that they have been fighting the Illuminati, and the Illuminati have infiltrated them, and they are trying to stave them off. When in fact, the Vatican is the Illuminati. They are the New World Order. And we've proven that with document after document on this show. So here comes that twist, that propaganda movie, where they're going to spend millions and millions of dollars of Hollywood. And it just shows you who controls Hollywood. Just like we discussed when we talked about this Harry Potter movie, the movies, the seven movies they're going to make, the seven books. And it's just amazing. And what it's doing is bringing children, 6, 7, and 8 years old, making it very... what it does is it shows kids that it's really better to be a witch or a wizard than it is to be someone close to God. And that's exactly what they want. My guest is Tony Alamo. Tony, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here, Greg. Nice to be on
great.
Again.
Yeah, and it's great to have you this day before Thanksgiving because there's a lot to talk about. And not to mention the Pope's coming visit, and this has been documented by the Vatican, and I wanted to get first your thoughts on this. He's coming in April. He will go to the White House, and I believe this is the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, that a Pope has been greeted officially at the White House. He's then going to say prayers at Ground Zero, and then from there he's going to several states. Isn't this amazing? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, Ground Zero was caused by him. Several of the cardinals in the Vatican stated in a one of these rag sheets that they sell, they're actually, a lot of people like them, and they really draw a lot of curiosity, these throwaway papers that they sell at the supermarkets. I think it was the Sun newspaper, one of them, that stated that these cardinals were prophesying that there was going to be attacks similar to 9/11 in the early autumn. Well, these people, as you know, are not of God whatsoever. They knew that this thing was going to happen, 9/11 was going to happen in the fall, early fall, September, because they're the ones that were going to do it. I mean, it's just amazing to me how organized they are. This, what they're calling, what they really call the Vatican Roman canon law is international law. It really has been blowing me away how organized they are throughout the entire world, because when they find a leader that doesn't follow their instructions, what they do is kill him. And they go in and say that he's an evil devil. He's like another Hitler. He treats his people bad. And they always can find somebody in those countries like Romania where they killed the leader, and other countries where they can say the leader is terrible. And then they get that some of the people around to agree with them, and then they go in and kill him. And place their own leaders in that country. Absolute dyed-in-the-wool Catholics, primarily people that have gone to Georgetown University and Oxford, England, have gotten their Rhodes scholarship there. And I've stated many times, and I believe you have too, where George W. Bush has put up monuments in Washington to the Pope. And to Romanism, international law. They can't become presidents unless they are agreeing to run the country under international law. Now, some people get so big-headed, like Kennedy, that he saw the adoration that a lot of people had for him, and so he started moving on somewhat on his own, and they'd like to place the blame on Giancana, and, you know, the Mafia. Well, the Mafia is the Vatican. I mean, people don't understand how far they've gotten along, and so they're afraid of the Vatican, the New World Order, what they call it now, it's the International World Government. When it's an international government, we no longer have a U.S. Constitution, because the new international government says to hell with the U.S. Constitution. And people are still, the naive people are still attempting to stand on the U.S. Constitution, and at times this international government will use the U.S. Constitution in their favor to make it look like it still exists. But
right, so it's kind of like a fantasy document that they use to hide behind freedom,
yeah.
Just like they hide behind Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely. And so,
it's interesting. If I could just interject something here on that. When I was researching a story regarding the Vatican Bank scandal, which really left the Vatican exposed back in the 80s to the corruption with the Mafia and the P2 Masonic lodges, the head of the bank at the time was Archbishop Marcinkus, who passed away about a year ago. And I was researching a story about that time, and I wanted to speak to him again. Well, strangely, I got contacted by his godson, his nephew, and he was telling me that Marcinkus was on the right side and basically stated that he was used by people. And I said, "Well, fine." I wanted to get an interview. It never happened, and then he passed away, and that is really strange. But anyway, how it happened. And I don't want to get into that. It's too long of a story. But what his godson said to me was interesting. First, he said, "Greg, what are you doing this about the Vatican for? It's going to cause you so many problems. The American people don't care. And you're trying to expose them. Why don't you just be a good entertainer? Because you get a nice voice. And boy, you can make yourself a lot of money doing that. But stay off the Vatican. Because if you start that, you're going to be a lonely soul." And then he says this, we're talking about the Constitution, and this is why I brought it up. Now, this is the godson of one of the biggest crooks that ever wore the Catholic robes, Father Archbishop Marcinkus from Chicago, my hometown. And he says, I started talking about the Constitution being wiped away by these people. And he laughed, and he said, "You know something, Greg? They're not wiping it away. They don't even think it exists. They don't even bother with it."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, and so many people are going in, they hire these real expensive attorneys, and the attorneys say, "Well, what they're doing to you is unconstitutional," and so, but we'll go in there and they laugh at the U.S. Constitution. Many of those popes have stated, and the international law, which is the Roman canon law, states to hell with the U.S. Constitution. Sir, we don't believe in freedoms, but for Catholics alone. But that's why so many people, they figure all this is going to go away, and that there's not, in their lifetime, and there's not going to be any retribution that they're going to have to pay for siding in with this bunch of rats, these demon spirits.
Mm.
But the Bible states it's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is not forgiven in this world or in the world to come. The Bible calls the Vatican Mystery Babylon. Now, it's not Babylon, it's Mysterious Babylon, the great mother of harlots, of prostitutes, and abominations of the earth. In other words, every abomination, every, ultimate sin, the greatest of sins that is happening in the world today is coming from this mother of harlots, Mystery Babylon, the Vatican. And it's like Avril Manhattan said, he's written so many books regarding the Vatican. He stated that they're like termites, the Vatican is, because they have their secret societies. And they have they're like termites that have borne themselves into every phase of government throughout the entire world, and they've the Jesuits have infiltrated into every true Christian church. Then they blame Christians and Jews for infiltrating them. No.
Right.
There's a lot of what I call Roman rabbis. There's quite a few of them. As a matter of fact, there's about three or four or five or six Roman Catholic Jewish rabbis, but they've sided in with the Roman Catholic cult. Most of the Jews that I talked to, as a matter of fact, there's quite a few of them that are on television now preaching the gospel, and I don't know, some of them have knowledge of the Vatican being Mystery Babylon the Great, but I put out a track called a piece of literature called The Pope's Secrets, and also another one called The Fugitive Pope. And
mm-hmm.
Avril Manhattan, before he died, sent me a wire, and I'm very proud of that one because he's really one that has exposed the Vatican. His reading is a little bit dry, but he told in the letter, it's just the telegram, it says, "Bravo," with an exclamation mark. That made my day, for sure.
Right.
And I still keep that telegram that he sent me from England. That's where he's from. So, it just blows me away how they've organized people to believe that it's all right to commit first-degree murder. There's 46 million babies killed, murdered every year. Now, the real Bible, the Jewish Bible, says, "Thou shalt not murder." It does not say, "Thou shalt not kill," because it's obvious that the Lord kills. He says, "I kill and I make alive." But for those that are planning to abort children, 46 million of them. Now the Holocaust was 6 million Jews and several others, but this is 46 million. This is the biggest Holocaust that has ever happened. And they're condoning adultery and fornication and homosexuality. As a matter of fact, most of those... And that's why they're making it a law now that they have to teach homosexuality as a third choice in school, because so many of them are homosexuals. And they're just trying to fashion the world to make it a better place to accommodate these lewd, evil sinners. They're the worst sinners that have ever lived, and the Lord came into the world to save them.
Mm-hmm.
But they just keep getting worse all the time.
Now, you've been fighting and trying to expose the Vatican and their evils for over 40 years. Many people may not realize that. And one of the things I wanted to mention to you was this. And when I mention this, the one point that's always misinterpreted, and I wanted to get your opinion, is that the Vatican is this group of people, and this was a recent broadcast host, a very popular one in the alternative media, was asked, "What about the Vatican? I mean, I hear so many stories about them. How come you never deal with them?" And he says, "Listen, the Vatican is basically broke because of these pedophile priest lawsuits." And then I mentioned this. There's a book called Ecclesiastical Megalomania. And it's by The Economic and Political Thought of the Roman Catholic Church by John Robbins. And this was published in 1999, his second publishing in 2006. And he says this, "According to Roman Catholic canon law, the control of all property of the Roman Catholic Church state, Papal Rome, belongs to the Pope, its supreme emperor. This property includes tens of thousands of buildings, millions of acres of land, tons of gold, silver, and precious stones, art collections, rare documents, and millions of shares in business corporations throughout the globe. Many people don't understand the Vatican invests in many of our corporations, and they're involved in, for example, they own major interests, the Jesuit Order and the Bank of America." And people don't understand this, Tony, and I just wanted you to clarify it, that they're not broke because they just paid out $50 million, in a lawsuit recently in Alaska, or $250 million in L.A., that's just a drop in the bucket. What's your thoughts?
That's just peanuts to them, because what it is they own all the money, tax money, is theirs. It goes into them, and that's why they're able to wage so many wars. They spend $100-200 billion on wars. Their goal, Satan controls those people, and their goal is to destroy the world. It's like the people in hell. When the Satan, those three unclean spirits are thrown down into hell, they narrowly look at him and say, "Are you the one that caused the entire world to be desolate? Are you this little sickening unclean spirit? Are you the one that caused all the chaos on earth and made the world desolate?" People can't put their finger on, because Satan is so cunning that he's deceived the entire world. But they've got $50 million, and $500 million is a joke to them. They are the IRS. They are the actual government. It's like, if you don't pay taxes on your house, they immediately take it over. They have many, like for instance, Gallo Wine Company. They don't pay one penny taxes, because they consider themselves a country, and they have immunity on taxes. Even when I was in prison for IRS, for the gospel, they railroaded me in there. I heard the marshal saying, "I don't want to go to." They want us to stand duty over in New York at the United Nations, but those guys that come over from the Catholic cult, you know, they said they grab your wife and they try to take her away, and they rape people. They park their cars in the middle of the street. It's like they're a bunch of wanton mafia bastards. Okay, like that means fatherless children is a bastard. So they don't have God for their father. So the Bible calls them bastards. Anyone that doesn't reach out to God and take Him for their father and for their Savior, Jesus. So my thoughts on that: this person that's telling you, "Oh, they're broke," that person is not well informed at all. The Vatican, you know, there's a book that they came out with. It's a Japanese book, The Art of War. And they say, when they're the most powerful, they make themselves look the weakest. And where they're the weakest, they try to make themselves look powerful. They're like chameleons, or chameleons, where you put them down on green paper or something green and they turn green. You know, they put them on something red and they turn red. They're a secret, very well organized, cunning organization. So cunning that the average person doesn't even have any idea. They have hundreds of, they have trillions of dollars. 500, and then where is it? You know, could Michael Jackson, when they were trying him, I don't agree with what he does, or he's not one of my friends. I made clothes for him and everything, but they run him over the coals for the same thing they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
But they protect their own, and that's why a lot of people like to join them, I guess, is because they figure that they'll be immune from persecution if they join with the devil. But the devil hates his own. Look at, they caused Kennedy to be killed. If you don't do exactly what they say, they'll kill you. They don't care anything about human life. Satan doesn't love anybody. And that's why they're so secret. Like some of these people, like Bush, ask them if they're Catholics. They're liars. He'll tell you, "No, I'm not. I'm a Baptist," or the same thing with Clinton. But the minute that Clinton became president, he went on tour with the Pope and said, the only thing that about Perot that is good, he said, is that he's Catholic. And here he was, in order to get elected. They're like politicians. Everybody puts so much faith in these politicians. It's like this Clinton woman.
Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary. You know, I don't even want it. H-I-L-E-R-Y. Yeah, spell her name wrong, because you can't insult people any more than to do that. That woman is like, they're all like insane. They're all, you know, too afraid to say that they're, whatever the public goes, whatever the traffic bears, if they want abortion, oh, they're for it. If they're against it, no, they won't, because the people have been so deceived now. They're saying that democracy is of the people, for the people, and by the people. Well, the people have always consistently been wrong. That's why God drowned everyone on the earth and only left 8 people alive at the time of Noah. So I really do not believe in, I believe in theocracy, where people should conduct themselves according to God's word, his law, because his law is never going to go away. They try to make it look like it has, but Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it, to show that the law can be kept if a person becomes born again of the Spirit and the power. I'm living inside of them. If I'm living in them, it's nothing at all to keep the law. All you got to do is just keep it by the power of God that's in you. And in the New Testament, the Lord even magnifies the law by saying, not only if you commit adultery, in other words, you go to bed with somebody, but if you just even look at somebody, that's even a more magnified law. If you even look at a woman with adultery in your heart, you've committed adultery. And everything is magnified in the New Testament. And most people think, well, we can't do that. We can't keep the law because we know we're a bunch of reprobates, and so we might as well go the other way. But what that is they mistrust God's word. He said that his power in them makes it to where all things are possible, but for them only to believe that, because there isn't anything that we can receive from God except by faith. And mm-hmm. So the bottom line of how to get all this taken care of is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also the Father and the Holy Spirit, into people's hearts, and they will be saved, and they will have power over Satan and over every evil thing on the face of this earth. And I know that worked because, you know, I was a real rounder before I got saved. And when that happened, when God showed himself to me, the fear of the Lord came down on me, and I gained a lot of power and strength from that, because I know that if I move away from the scriptures, that the very most precious thing I have in my entire being is my soul and my spirit. Now, I don't want my soul to go to hell, and so people should protect their soul with every fiber of their being, because if they don't, life is too short to wake up and say, oh my God, these people that were preaching the gospel were right, and here we are in hell, and we can't get out. There's no exit signs here. There's no escape.
Are you there?
Yeah, I just wondered if you were.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I was just listening, and we're coming up on a break real shortly. And what I wanted to mention, you know, I want to come back and talk a little bit about Hollywood, because you are familiar with it, and I'm very interested. Get your points, get your feelings about why, you know, none of these actors, none of these directors, producers are speaking out anymore. It seems as if they've been completely silent. And I want to get your opinions about what's really going on in Hollywood back after these short messages.
Okay.
Okay, we are back on the Investigative Journal, and I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo, who's been trying to expose the Vatican for over 40 years. And before I get back to Pastor Alamo and we talk a little bit about Hollywood, because it's an interesting story how Pastor Alamo became a pastor and what he was before that, and I think he has a very good idea of what really goes on in Hollywood, but let me mention this. If you're going to say Thanksgiving dinner and say a prayer tomorrow, say a prayer that we can expose the evil that's going on between our government and the Vatican, so that we can, once and for all, at least understand what they're doing, and then from there, try to expose them. And in an effort to do that, yesterday, I had on my show a former member of the Monte Carlo Pitu Lodge, who was very close to the big boys over in Italy, and he's comes on my show every now and then, provides really great information for those of you who want to know the inner workings of how it really works there. We exposed yesterday the Order of St. Maurice and Lazarus, the Illuminati of the Italian royal house secretly operating for the Vatican Mafia and the P2 worldwide. And like Pastor Olamo said, the Vatican is like termites. He just mentioned that earlier in the show. They form these different secret societies, and this is a huge one. The let me say it again, the Order of St. Maurice and Lazarus, and this is a offshoot of the Knights of Malta, and I've got a list of every one of their delegates all over the world. It's incredible. And I did want to mention, and also all over Italy, all over France, all over the world, and in America, and in an effort to expose them, I want to give you, give you the name of the person to contact, to ask him what he's really all about. And Carl Joseph Morelli is the delegate of the Order of Lazarus in the America. Okay. And he's located at 605 3rd Avenue, Suite 1501, New York City. And you can get a hold of him at stati-uniti, that's in Italian, dash, theamerica at thesavoia, S-A-V-O-I-A .org. And just contact him and ask him if he knows who Commandante Ugo Ballestieri is. And he's an Italian now given American citizenship. He's the head of the Rotary Club. And according to the sources I have in Italy, they had prior conversations, Mr. Ballestieri, as well as the head of the Monte Carlo P2 Lodge, prior to 9/11, knowing that it was going to come about. And the sources from Italy say, look, if you guys really want to get to the truth, start investigating these guys. Another one to talk to is Carl Joseph Morelli. So that's just to start naming names. Because, you know, we want to make sure this isn't just a fictitious organization. We want to expose who they are and what they're all about. And hopefully this will help. Pastor Ramo?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to get back to your experience in Hollywood. And one thing that really is strange to me is that I remember even during the Vietnam War, there were more people speaking out, Marlon Brando, there was a huge group. And it seems as if now, even these people in Hollywood, even the so-called left-wingers, are staying actually quite silent. Not only about, you know they're not going to talk about the Vatican, and I want to get your opinions why they won't. And secondly, they're not even really coming out strongly against the war.
No, that's right. Well, you know, as I said, people say, some guy was trying to do an interview with me, but I don't do any interviews that are not live because they twist and turn everything. Like on newspapers, if you do an interview, 99% of the stuff that I say is not said. They just write, and they let your opponents write everything, that all the lies about you. But any organization, this guy said he was going around my church, one of my churches, and asking the people, does Tony say he's God? And I said, you guys should have told him no. If I did say that I was God, or if I thought I was, then I'd be a cult. But it's because a cult leader will say that he's God. That's the Pope. He says he's God. And says he runs everything in the world, and he does run the entertainment industry, because I got pretty high up in the entertainment industry, the motion picture industry, and also the recording. As a matter of fact, the Beatles wanted me to be their manager, and so did the Rolling Stones and many others. And I actually did the promotion for Sonny and Cher, and Cher is still alive. And I never met her, but Sonny and I were in business together with Jack Nitzsche and H.B. Barnum. We had an office over on La Brea in Holland.
Uh-huh.
And they said that Barnum is now our musical director at our church. And he does the concerts for Aretha Franklin and many of the other top people. He's about half the time time he's gone. But mm-hmm. then he comes back and instructs our choir and our band and everything over several of our churches. At any rate, every time I got to, when I was on top in the industry, because of my ability to be able to do merchandising so well, is I would find out that I was talking to a Catholic. Like at RCA Victor was this guy named D. Imperio was his last name. And everywhere in the movie industry, it was either a Vaticanite or a... And I'm Jewish myself, and I don't believe in saying bad things about some Jews, but there were some bad Jews in the Bible. Not even the ones that God took out of Egypt. He slaughtered all of them out on the desert, God did, because of how evil they were. But, you know, of course, the first Christians were Jews, and Jesus himself is Jewish. And we have a Jewish God. God is the God of the Jews, the Israelites. And so that's why we have to become a Jew, a spiritual Jew, to become eligible to go into the kingdom of heaven. And so, you know, these confusionists on this earth, the Vatican has their fingers in every pie. I mean, if you're talking about bowling alleys or the nightclubs or... the motion picture industry or the recording industry, this is one of the most, those are two of the most lethal industries. When they caught on to that I wasn't one of them, they sent my hitman out after me. I was the one that came out with the 20 original hits. You can't buy it in the store, you got to call up on the phone. And mm-hmm. so I put that out, and I was the only one. They only allowed one person advertising records on the air at that time. This is back in the early 60s. And so I leased one of the records from Roulette Record Company, which was run by Moshe or Moses Levy, Moshe Levy. Well, they also owned Birdland, which is one of the jazz places in New York. And I leased Joey D and the Starlighters, the Peppermint Twist, from them. And also, I didn't get it. I had Earl McDaniel from Hollywood. He was one of the top disc jockeys at the time. Call on the phone and get him for me, and because they wouldn't give him to me. But because of the fact that the record industry needs the disc jockeys, I said, Earl, how would you like to be part of this album? He says, who do I have to kill? I said, just call on the phone and get these records for me, and if any other ones that you think would be good for the 20 original hits. And so he just picked up the phone, and within 15, 20 minutes, he had the whole album together. Dootsie Wilson, over at the Dootsie Records, had the Penguins with Angel, Earth Angel, and I had all the top ones from Phil Spector and you name it. I had the top records. And so I put them together, 20 on one album. That was never heard of before because it didn't have CDs back then. And mm-hmm. so I advertised, and I started out at KRLA in over in Pasadena, and then I also went on to, when I saw it was successful, I went to 1010 Winds with Murray Kaufman there and put it on the air and made millions of dollars. Then several years, I got tired of it, and several years later, K-Tel Records out of Canada copied and me, and then now it's the Warner Brothers. You know, they give you 150 records for how much money, four payments of $39.95 or something like that, and you just get records all together, put together, that you can't really buy in stores. Well, when I, they sent hitman out to me, they said, get off the air. Get out of here. You know, so, and I said, oh, we'll kill you. I said, back then I wasn't saved, you know. And I said, well, you've got enough money to hire a hitman, and I'll pay the guy more if he'll come and get you. And they thought it was very funny, you know. But Bob Baker, a friend of mine who was working for me, asked me if he could bring his girlfriend and live in one of my apartments in New York for the Christmas season. So I told him, yeah, go ahead, use the townhouse. the house over on 58th Street. I was living at the townhouse over on Park. And also I had a place on over on the West End Avenue and one in the village. But so when they were using my apartment, this guy knocked on the door while Bob was downstairs getting a paper. And his girlfriend, who was one of the top strippers at a strip club in Hollywood, she was number one. All the big movie stars wanted to go out with her and everything. And this guy knocked on the door. She opened it. She thought it was Bob. And so he started slapping her around. And they were all Catholics. So he said, "Where's Tony? Tell me where Tony is," you know. And they're slapping her around. So, and she spoke French. She's from France. He said, "I don't know. You know, Tony, Bobby is my..." He couldn't understand her. And then the guy left real quick. "Where are the jewels?" Like I got a bunch of jewels or something.
And what I was getting at was that you know about Hollywood. And let me get back. You put together, just so people understand what this is, maybe there's some people that don't remember, but you put together the first, which was a trend in music, you put together the first oldie but goodie albums. You bought radio and television time and made a lot of money out of these albums this
right.
way. Nobody had done it before. Then you were a manager of the careers of many top picture stars and recording artists, people like the Beatles wanted to get you, the Rolling Stones, the Doors, Buffalo Springfield, P.J. Proby, Pete Best, the old drummer for the Beatles.
Yeah, Pete Best.
Many others.
I had Pete Best and P.J. Proby. I had them. They were mine. But I just, you know, the Lord was dealing with me back then. But go ahead and finish what you're saying. I'm interested.
And I was going to say, you understood back then how Hollywood operated, and you left that million-dollar career and started your ministries. And I wanted to get, looking back now, why don't these people speak out? I mean, are they afraid that they're going to lose this money that they have? Are they so controlled now that they can't even speak out against the war?
Well, people can't think. Satan is such a guttural, low-class person. People can't believe the things that you're saying because people's minds, a lot of them, cannot think that evil. You know, in other words, I was pretty evil before I was saved. Every evil person can be saved if they give their heart to the Lord. But they can't think. I never dreamed that when they asked me to do the promotion for the entire Democratic Party that they were bad people. I thought, oh, the Democrats, the Republicans, you know, it's the same old jazz.
Right.
So when I went up there, though, they wanted to see me. Mayor Yorty from Los Angeles and a lot of big-name people wanted me to go up there and do this promotion. So there was three young guys there and some other ones. They wanted me to do a smear campaign on Barry Goldwater. And, God, I didn't know if he was right or wrong. I didn't know anything about politics. I said, "What do you want me to do the promotion for? Because I don't know anything about politics." And if I put the wrong guy in office, and there is a God, and this wrong guy pressed the button and blew the whole world up, then I would figure that I'd go to hell. I didn't know. I was just talking to, and all three of them leaned forward to me and say, "Are you saying..." These are people in the entertainment industry that are Catholics. They're saying, "Are you saying that that Kennedy is the wrong guy, or that Johnson is the wrong guy?" And I said, "I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I don't know." And they leaned towards me. They were all over 6 foot tall, had crew cuts, all had gray suits on. And they looked just like, you know, Johnny Appleseed, the guy next door.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the hair on the back of my head, and I've been around a lot of people that were in a big business and everything, and they were connected. But I never really felt the evil that I felt in that office that day. And I just said, I thought I was extremely fortunate to get out of there with my life, and this is before the Lord talked to me. And they had this record album called Barry Hot Water, and it was a picture of a guy on a horse with a few of his teeth missing in front, and he had a big smile, and he had a cowboy hat in his hand. They wanted me... So the album consisted of, they said, "Well, what do you think we should do in Korea?" He says, "Blow it up." And it was the, and everybody, they had piped in laughter there and everything. And so, to me, if you are, if I didn't expose the way that I was, I could have been, God only knows how high I would have been in the industry. And a lot of people for money will do that. And a lot of people are afraid that they, yes, that they will lose their position in Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Holmby Hills, all these places. Their homes, they mean so much to them. As a matter of fact, I was married to the Princess of Sweden. and she decided to go astray. I led her to the Lord, and she was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Her name was Birgitta Gyllenhammar. That name Gyllenhammar in Sweden is like the name Rockefeller here. And they own Volvo Automobile Company and that big water company over there that competes with Perrier. The minute that they when they found out that I wasn't going along with them, they just immediately turned on me, because they said the same thing to me that they're saying to you. Don't you know how many people, there won't be any people come to your funeral when you die? And I said, well, when I'm dead, I won't care whether people come to my funeral at all. I said, it's merciful to tell people what's happening to them. And without mercy, nobody's going to reap mercy on the day of judgment. And so I knew all the big shots in the industry, and I know they don't talk because they don't want to lose money. It's all about money and,
yep,
and position, you know. They sell their soul for, if Esau sold his soul for a bowl of beans, then what do you think people are going to do for their entire careers? They have wives and children. I've got to protect my children. I've got to support my children. If I do this, what you're talking to me, like the head of Billboard Cashbox Magazine told me, Tony, everybody in the industry knows you're right. But what do we do? I said, there's nothing to do but get saved and pray to the Lord that God will destroy. But he's going to do it. He's already destroying the earth. He's sending down tsunamis and earthquakes and all kinds of diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses on people. He tells about that in the Bible. And so, people, that is just in Hollywood, or I've been in the industry. I was number one in the recording industry, the motion picture industry for doing promotions and everything, and in the garment industry, and in the health studio industry. I was with the executive vice president of the world's largest health studio chain, a health club, gyms. And one of my partners just sold the 24-hour fitness for $1.6 billion. And so I'm up there with him. This guy was a Mormon, but he believes in what I believe, and he's just invited me to come down and spend some time with him in Mexico, because he has some property down there as well as in Carlsbad, California, and I don't know where else. But it's just the same thing, whether it's the entertainment industry or not. They control it. When they want a picture to be looked at, they badmouth it. Like they say it's too sexy or something like that. The minute they say that, it's going to be a hit.
Yeah. And I was mentioning earlier that this information I got from somebody in Italy, in Rome, and it was credible information, that in last May, Ron Howard, who you know is very successful, wealthy, a producer, director, former actor, Tom Hanks, one of our box office smash hit actors, was in Rome, along with Rupert Murdoch, Dan Brown, who wrote the Da Vinci Code, several Jesuits, a cardinal from the Vatican, and they were putting together their strategy, both financial and otherwise, for this new movie called Angels and Demons, which is going to depict the Vatican fighting the Illuminati, and it's just the opposite. They are the Illuminati. so you know how they operate. My question is, how do these guys, like Tom Hanks, I mean, he's got enough time to read this stuff. I don't see how he could get involved with these people unless he's just driven by money. I mean, and these guys should be exposed.
Right. Well, what it is they're so busy reading scripts and going through different scripts, and they're in their attorney's offices making deals for different pictures. They're busy into carnal things, and they don't really care. They're so deceived, they get caught up into their own hype, and they begin believing that they are what the movie industry says they are, and that the public thinks they are. But they're none of those things. I've been around some of the biggest actors in the world, and most of them are the most boring people to be around because they just, that's all they, I know I met a lot of them, and they say, are you an actor? And I say, no. And they say, ow. You know, and then they,
they walk away.
Yeah, I just walk away. Like over Tony Franciosa's house, you know, and we were there. He says, well, why don't you become an actor? And I said, because I don't play games. I'm not a phony. And I don't want to play somebody else's life. I said, I want to do something in this life to where people like you want to do my movie. You know? And a lot of them wanted to. And I've had many directors and producers come to me and want to do movies on me. And then when I started talking to them, they started saying, man, this doesn't need to be a movie, it has to be a TV series, because you've lived a thousand
lives. I wonder when the Vatican issues come up, what they would do then.
Well, I told one of them, I said, he did a Marlon Brando picture at Rod Steiger, and I said, look, if I were you, I wouldn't do a movie on me, because the Vatican will no doubt boycott it. It's like I was, some of these different recording artists said that they wanted to, if I did some clothing for them, designed them, because I had the number one clothing store in Nashville, Tennessee. It was number one as far as Western and rock and roll clothing and all that kind of stuff in Nashville. And so they said, well, we will we'll do a gig for you at your restaurant in Elma, Arkansas, which we had a banquet room there that we could do 1,000 people a night, and we charge $50 a piece. It's $50,000 a night for two nights. That's $100,000 in a little town like Elma, Arkansas. That's quite a bit. So they said, well, yeah, we'll do it. And so I started advertising that they're going to be there. I started making the clothing for them, having our people do it, and all of a sudden, their manager called up and says, Tony, please, let us out of this contract, because they were going to be singing in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and so they thought they'd just come over and do that, a two-nighter. Okay, and I said, why? And they says, we've had no less than 500,000 threatening calls from Catholics saying that if we do that gig for you, that we're going to kill you.
God.
So you had to let them out.
There you go. There's the power of the Vatican at work again, silencing people.
They threatened. I had a record not long ago, number 50 on the national chart. It was an Antonio Carlos Jobim record, and it was number 50 on the national chart. So I have the charts from Cashbox to show you. And he got around, he said, thousands of calls saying, hey, what do you have him on the charts for? Get off, get him off the charts, and we're going to blow your office up. I mean, they threatened people. I had clothing in 10,000 clothing stores, including Neiman Marcus. I'd go to their home office in Dallas and show them my different. They loved the clothes, and so did merry-go-round stores, Signal. And I was in the Trump Towers and the Trump Plaza, the Waldorf Astoria, all kinds of stores. And they went around.
Yeah, Pastor Lama, let's hold that thought. We'll come back after 2 minutes here. We got to take a break. Back with Pastor Tony Lama.